السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم. اللهم زدنا علما كثيرا وفقها في الدين وعملا متقبلا يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما وعملا متقبلا يا أكرم الأكرمين. وصلى الله على محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله، أما بعد. فحياكم الله. Welcome brothers, inshallah, for today's class on the fiqh of marriage. And we began a very important hadith last time from the book Bulugh al-Maram. And we're continuing in the series that we started. This is the 13th class in the series. We read the hadith last time. لا نكاح إلا بولي. There is no marriage except with a guardian. لا نكاح إلا بولي. This is the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that no woman is allowed to get married except in the presence of her guardian, except with the presence of her guardian. And the question that comes up, one of the questions that comes up is that if a woman newly accepts Islam, then who is her guardian? Because we spoke last time about the guardians of a woman, that it begins with her father, or according to some ulama, her son, and then her grandfather, and then her brothers, and her uncles, and her cousins. And there's a certain order. But say a woman, she accepts Islam, and she doesn't have any Muslim relatives. Can the non-Muslim father act as a guardian? The ulama, they say no. They say that there is la wilayatu lil kafiri ala Muslim. That a non-Muslim, he cannot have guardianship or authority over a Muslim. So the woman who newly accepts Islam, then her guardianship cannot be her father or any of her relatives, unless she has a Muslim relative. So what happens in this case when she doesn't have a wali? And the Prophet ﷺ, he said, لا نكاح إلا بولي. So how does she get married? The scholars, they say that a woman who does not have a guardian, a wali, then the body of the Muslims, they become her guardian, her wali. The body of the Muslims, and the body of the Muslims are represented by their imam, by the leader of the Muslims, the imam or the khalifa, or in the West, they say the imam of the masjid. He is the one who will become the wali of the woman, representing the body of the Muslims, because now her care and her guardianship is entrusted to the body of the Muslims, because she has accepted Islam. And so we are, all of the community becomes responsible for her upkeep and well-being. So they, in turn, the imam of the Muslims, he's the one who will be the guardian of the woman in this case. Now we have another question, which is, say that the guardian of a woman, he's located in a faraway land, or he's somewhere where he'll be going away on a trip or a journey, and he wants to delegate somebody to perform the wedding of his daughter. Or say that there's the wali of a woman is located in a faraway country, in Pakistan or Malaysia, and the daughter is here in America, and she wishes to get married, and the father, he approves of the marriage, but it is difficult for him. He cannot obtain a visa, or he's not able to come to attend the marriage. So in this case, what can he do? He's allowed to delegate somebody and grant him the authority to be the wakil, to be his wakil in the wedding, and he's allowed to wed the woman. This wakil that the father appoints, he is allowed to wed the woman under the father's guardianship. So the father, he can appoint a man who's present in the community and say, I make you my wakil in this wedding, and you're allowed to wed my daughter in the marriage, in that case. And this is called al-wilayatu al-khas. There's two types of wilaya. There's two types of wakala. Wakala in Arabic, it kind of means like power of attorney, or representation. So you have the general wakala, which is when a person, he says, I make this partner of mine, he's my wakil, in terms of business. He can buy and sell in my name. He can sell something on my behalf. This is the general type of wakala. And this is what is very common. This is called wakala al-amma. So if I appoint, say, Brother Tariq, I say, I appoint you as my wakil, you can sell my car, then he has the authority to sell my car or to use it in a business transaction. But if I make him the wakala in my over some property of mine, does that mean that he has authority to, say, wed my daughter if I had a daughter who was to be wed? No. In this case, the wakala over the wealth is separate, and the wakala over the daughter is a very specific type of wakala, or a specific type of guardianship. So that is not automatically transferred if one has a wakil or attorney. Rather, he has to give the specific authority to the other person to be the representative in wedding, in the marriage. This is because marriage is special right, and it's not related to, say, buying and selling and other types of transactions. Now we have the issue of the guardian. لا نكاح إلا بولي. And we mentioned last time there is no marriage except with a wali. And this is the point that is emphasized by Imam Malik and Imam Ahmad and Imam Shafi'i. They all come to agreement that there is no marriage that is permissible except in the presence of the guardian. And we'll talk a little bit about the wisdom of that. However, Imam Abu Hanifa, in his school, there is an opinion that the presence of a guardian is not required in the marriage of a woman, that her wali is not required, and he has his adilla for that. And there's also another opinion in the Hanafi school that says that if a woman was previously married, she can give herself away in marriage. In the Hanafi school, there is an opinion, but if she's a virgin woman, meaning she was never married before, then in this case she's not allowed to give herself in marriage. So this is one of the opinions that exists in the school of Abu Hanifa. And this will take us actually to the next hadith. This will bring us to the next hadith, which talks more on the subject, inshallah. Okay, we have the next hadith, which is narrated by Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, who says, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أيما امرأة نكحت بغير إذن وليها فنكاحها باطل. Any woman, ayyuma, ayyi means any, ayyuma means any woman, imra'atin, imra'a is any woman, imra'a is the feminine form of imra'u, without the ta. Imra'u refers to a male, imra'a with the ta marbuta, imra'a, this refers to the female. Female, any female, whether she's young or old, whether she's been married or not married before. This is what any means in both in English and ayyuma in Arabic. Ayyuma imra. Imra refers to any of the daughters of the children of Adam, anyone who is female. Anybody from that category of the females or the daughters of Adam alayhi salam is called an imra in Arabic. It doesn't mean she has to be old, or it doesn't mean that she was previously married. So this is what the scholars of language, they say the hadith is very general. Any woman, any female who marries herself, nakahat, who gets married without the permission of her guardian, بِغَيْرِ إِذْنِ وَلِيِّهَا فَنِكَاحُهَا بَاطِلٌ, then her marriage, her nikah, is batil. Batil means invalid. It is not sahih, it is batil. Now, and then فَإِنْ دَخَلَ بِهَا فَلَهَا الْمَهْرُ بِمَا اسْتَحَلَّ مِنْ فَرْجِهَا. And if they consummate the marriage, that is, if the man who wedded her through this invalid marriage, he consummates it, دَخَلَ بِهَا, they have the wedding night, then in that case she has the right to the mahar, the bride gift, the dowry, because he has made permissible for himself intimacy with her. And we'll explain this in a moment. وَإِنْ اشْتَجَرُوا فَالسُّلْطَانُ وَلِيُّ مَنْ لَا وَلِيَّ لَهُ. And if they have a disagreement, إِنْ اشْتَجَرُوا, if there's a disagreement between the woman and her wali, then the sultan, the leader, is the wali of a woman who does not have a wali. And we'll also talk about why a woman would disagree with a wali and what should be done in that case. So here, as we see, that the hadith is very general. And this is why the jumhur of the ulama, they say, أَيُّمَا إِمْرَأَةٍ, they say, it does not make a difference if she was a virgin or previously married. Because the hadith has the general dalil, or the general indication that it covers all women, young or old, previously married or not married. If she gets married meaning that she performs a contract of marriage where she is the second party in terms of offering herself and the man accepting, this is, she herself becomes the offering party in the nikah. So she says, I give myself. Instead of the wali, the guardian, saying, I give my daughter, and the suitor saying, I accept, she herself gives herself in marriage, and the other party performs a contract with her. So here, the woman who does this, who performs this type of contract, then the Prophet ﷺ, he says that her marriage is batil. It is invalid. Why is it invalid? Because the presence of her guardian is a condition. It is a condition for the validity of a marriage contract. So the first thing that we learn from this hadith is that any woman, whether she's young or old, previously married or not married before, if she performs this contract of marriage on her own, then her marriage is invalid. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, if there is cohabitation, فَإِن دَخَلَ بِهَا, if there is the wedding night and they consummate the marriage, then she is entitled to the dowry due to his relations with her. What this means here is that the Prophet ﷺ is indicating that if it has already happened, if the woman performed the marriage of herself with a man and they consummated the marriage, the man, he had the wedding night with her, then in this case, in order to make up for what he has done, in order to compensate for this relationship that he had with her, she is entitled to the dowry. She is entitled to the mahr, the full mahr that they had either agreed upon in the marriage contract, or if they didn't talk about the mahr in the marriage contract, then what becomes due to the woman is called the mahr al-mithl. Mahr al-mithl, it means the mahr that a woman of her status, of her age, of her beauty, would normally receive. So if the man and the woman consummated such a marriage where the guardian was not present, the marriage is invalidated. However, the woman is still entitled to the mahr because of the man, the intimacy that he enjoyed with the woman. So in this case, the mahr is due. Even though the general principle, according to the scholars, is that when there's a contract that is invalid, then anything that is built upon what is invalid is also invalid. This is a general rule. This is generally speaking. Whatever, مَا بُنِيَ عَلَى الْبَاطِلِ فَهُوَ بَاطِلٍ. Whatever is built upon something that is false, then that is also false. So generally speaking, one would say that since the contract is invalidated, then likewise, then there would be no issue of the mahr. But in this case, the woman has the right, not due to the contract, but because of that relationship that he had with the woman, she still enjoys the right of receiving the mahr in this case. And also the question, and a brother asked last time, is that if such a contract took place, is there a punishment? Is there the had that would be applied for the man and the woman? And the scholars likewise, they say that no, there is no had in this case, because of the presence of the contract or the quasi-contract that wasn't really valid, but due to the presence of this contract that they had, then this is a type of shubha. Shubha in Arabic, it means a doubtful thing. And the ulama, they say that al-hudud tudra'u bishubuhat. The prescribed punishments in Islam, if there's any doubt that is within as to whether that crime took place, then the had is put off. It is not applied. So because of the presence of this contract, it creates a type of doubt about the relationship that they had, and therefore the ulama say that there is no had. And also because the two parties, perhaps they were ignorant about the ruling. Perhaps they didn't know, and due to this ignorance that they had, they're not held accountable for the relationship that they had. However, there is a minority opinion that says if the two parties knew that what they were doing was invalid, it was batil, the suitor and the woman, they both knew that what they're doing is incorrect, it's batil, then they said that there should still be a punishment. However, the jumhur, the majority of ulama, they say there is no had for either of them. Whether they knew the contract was invalid or not, there's no had. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he says, فَإِنْ اشْتَجَرُوا. And if there is a dispute, اشْتَجَرُوا, if there is a dispute between the woman and her guardian. اشْتَجَرُوا in Arabic, it comes from the word شَجَرَى. شَجَرَى is also related to the word شَجَر. شَجَر in Arabic, it means a tree, right? A tree. So اشْتَجَرَى, it means argumentation or dispute. And how is it related to a tree? The ulama, they say that when a tree grows, the branches become intertwined. As you look at any tree, the branches and they become intertwined, or they cross one another, and they become stuck inside one another. And this crossing, when you try to separate them, it will either break some of the branches or cause some of the leaves to fall. So likewise, two people, when they enter into a dispute, to try to resolve that dispute is very difficult. And it usually results in, it's very, very difficult to bring them to come to a conclusion or to come to an agreement. So this is symbolic of the crossing of branches in a tree. So if they dispute, and the ones who have a dispute is the woman and her guardian. Because the guardian, perhaps he prevented the woman from getting married, so then she went and married herself. This is the case that might happen, where the guardian, he prevents the woman from marriage, so she goes and gives herself away in marriage. So the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if there happens to be a dispute in this case, between a woman and her guardian, then the ruler, the imam, he becomes the guardian of the woman, for the one who does not have a guardian. This is because the ruler, the king or the president or the khalifa, and the ones who he delegates, they have the authority. The Prophet ﷺ is saying that the woman has recourse to the judge or the one in authority in this case, if she had a dispute with her guardian. And if it was permissible for a woman to marry herself, then there would be no need for the Prophet ﷺ to mention that she could go to the authority of the Sultan. He would have just said she can marry herself. But he did not allow that. He said that the Sultan becomes her guardian. And so the guardian, if he objects, the one who has the right of giving her in marriage, if he objects, then the woman has a right to know, or he has to be asked, why is he preventing her from getting married? Why is he preventing the guardian, the one under his guardianship, from getting married? Because the woman, she has a right to be married, and this is a trust in his hands. So the objection of the guardian, it could be for a valid reason. And this is one of the important points to understand in the Islamic law, that a man is more likely to understand and to know other men and to recognize them more than a woman. For this reason, the guardian has been made a man, because the guardian will be the one who is dealing with a suitor, with the man who's coming to request the hand of the woman in marriage. So Allah made the guardian only the man. And because he can recognize the traits of another man, he can recognize what the qualities of another man, and he is not easily deceived. Unlike the woman, who may easily be deceived. And this shows the high place and the high honor that Islam has given the woman. That a man should come and request her in marriage. She should be the one sought after, and not the one that is seeking. Right? The one being sought after has a higher place. The one seeking, he has a lower place. So in order to place the woman on a higher status, and a noble status, then she has to be requested through her wali, and she does not have to go herself and seek the marriage, because this will lower her status and reduce her honor amongst people. Seeing a woman asking others for marriage, perhaps she would have a stigma. People would say that she has a lot of desire for men, she likes to look at men. And this would cause her to have a bad reputation. And even though it may be true, and it may be the case that she does have the desire for marriage, and this is not wrong. In fact, she can fulfill her goal and obtain her desire, but it should be through her guardian. So in order to protect her honor and to protect others, she shouldn't publicly announce this desire that she has, but to protect her haya and her dignity, through her wali, she can request the marriage of somebody else. So you see that Islam is not preventing her from fulfilling the need that she has, but it's only guiding her to a way that is better and more honorable for her to fulfill that desire and that need that she has. So the guardian, the man, he can research the suitor, he can research the person, he can find out about him, and he can know if he's compatible or not with a woman, and is he trustworthy? Because the guardian is giving him a trust. The woman that the man has guardianship over, he's a trust in her hands. So he has to know, is this man trustworthy? Can he take care of this trust that Allah has put in my hands? Can he keep it safe or not? But a woman may be deceived by smooth speech and smooth talk and charming words. One of the poets, he said that how many people have been misled by praise and compliments, right? A man was really good. Some men, they're very good at smooth talk. He'll praise and compliment the woman until she becomes so impressed by those words and she'll no longer be able to judge the man properly. However, a man, he will not be deceived by this. If a man comes and he starts praising the daughter, it's unlikely that that will deceive the man by hearing these words, because he knows he won't be tricked by the words of that suitor. So Allah has legislated the guardianship in order to protect the woman and to protect her from being misled by those who would take advantage of her. And we also have another important point before we finish, which is that if we consider a woman a zaniya, a woman who commits the zina with other people, she gives herself away in marriage without a guardian, without asking or without having anybody to give her away in marriage. So she presents herself to her partner and they agree, and there's no oversight and there's no one to overlook what type of relationship they're getting into. And so if things were left like this, if a woman was allowed to do this in marriage, then there would be no difference between the marriage and the regular relationship of the zina that people commit. It would be the same, where the man and the woman, they get together, and there would be no way of differentiating between one who would like to have a permanent, lasting relationship and one who wants to fulfill some momentary pleasure. So we see here that the guardianship has been put as a condition in marriage in order to distinguish it from those who want momentary pleasure, and in order that the relationship will be one that is permanent and longer lasting. So the Prophet ﷺ said, any woman who marries without the consent of her guardian, her marriage is invalid. And to summarize, if there's a disagreement, if the guardian is preventing her from marrying a righteous man, a religious man, due to family reasons, due to not being from the right culture or the right tribe, etc., and there's no valid religious reason, then she can go to those in the authority. And the Prophet ﷺ, he did not say she should give herself away in marriage. Rather, he said that she should refer to those in authority, and then the necessary arrangements can be made for her marriage. And also, if there is a consummation of marriage outside of a valid contract, the full mahr is still due to the woman. This is the right that Islam has given the woman, and this is the honored status that Islam has given to women in marriage. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم والحمد لله رب العالمين. Inshallah, that's all we have for this hadith. If there's any questions, you're welcome to ask. Inshallah ta'ala. And also for the sisters, you're also welcome to pass your questions up, inshallah, if you'd like. Yes, brother.
What is the proof that you have?
Yes, inshallah, perhaps we'll talk about it. Abu Hanifa, may Allah have mercy upon him, he refers to the ayah in Surah Baqarah that says, that speaks about a woman marrying حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرَهُ. There's in Surah Baqarah, it has the verb of marriage in the feminine form. So he says that if a woman, the ayah is referring to a woman marrying herself, giving herself away in marriage. So he looks at that verse where it's talking about a woman who's divorced and then she wants to get married to the previous husband. And the verb in the context of the verse, it doesn't make mention of the wali. But it says if she herself marries somebody else. So Imam Abu Hanifa, he gave more strength to the passage in the Quran. Even though it's not a direct proof, it's more of like a ishara. But he gave more authority to that over the ahadith that we mentioned today. There's a little bit more detail to talk about in the Hanafi school. The Sahiban, for example, they say that the wali can nullify the marriage. She can carry out the contract, but the wali can cancel the marriage out, especially if the man is not compatible with the woman. But maybe I think next time we can talk more about it, inshallah. I think it should come up again in the future, inshallah. So any other questions? Yes, Brother Bilal. We missed you for a few weeks, inshallah.
You mentioned that in the event that the man and the woman get married, they have a contract, that they have to be married, like, that gives the woman the right to take the marriage. But are they allowed still to continue with the marriage?
Oh, okay. That's a very good question. The woman who gives herself in marriage to a man, we mentioned that she's entitled to the mahr. But this does not mean that the contract was valid in any way. That's an important point to make clear. The reason she's entitled to the marriage, or to the mahr, is nothing to do with the contract. The contract is invalid. They are not married as if they never got married. But because of the relations that he had with her, then the mahr becomes due to her. Because of that intimacy, this is one of the rights that a woman has in marriage. So a woman who has been had relations with her, even if it was unwillingly, one of the rights that becomes due to her is the mahr al-mithl, the dowry of a woman of her similar status. So that's the marriage is invalid and they cannot stay together. What they need to do in that case, if such a marriage took place, is that they should renew the contract in the presence of the guardian and bring two witnesses and renew the contract. But as we mentioned, there's no had, and any children, if they had children during that time, they still are ascribed to the rightful parents. Because the presence of that contract, it's a type of pseudo-contract. Even though it's not valid, it provides some type of relation or some type of shubha that allows them to keep the children to be ascribed to them, and there's no had in that case. Inshallah. Any other questions? Inshallah. Jazakum Allah khair. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Walhamdulillah rabbil alamin. Barakallahu. We missed you, Brother Bilal. Been a few weeks. Jazakallah khair. It's nice to see you again. Do you have any other questions? No? Jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. It's very nice to see you. Thank you all for coming. MashaAllah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.